Good, yeah. And that is as it should be.
It'll be different.
Oh, yeah.
When do you go today? When do you go today?
I don't know.
She should be on her way.
She's on her way.
I'm gonna call her, find out how far out she is.
You're welcome to our SCSP board meeting. Time to begin. Welcome everyone that is here today. We excuse Paul. Paul is not gonna be able to be with us today. And I expect Wendy will be coming in shortly. We will begin with the opening prayer and the Pledge of Allegiance. I'm going to offer the prayer, and Nelson will then lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance. Our Father who art in heaven, as we begin this board meeting with the Electric Service District, we ask that a prayer be offered and that we can meet as a board and as with the public, that we can do so in a way that's pleasing unto thee and in a way that is pleasing to the each of us as board members. We're grateful for this opportunity to serve. We ask a prayer to be with Paul as he is having some health issues. As he's out of town now, that he can be watched over. And also we pray for our manager, Dan Ellsworth, that he can continue on his road to recovery. We're grateful for all God blesses us with. We are grateful for the atonement and for what that offers to us in our lives. We're grateful for our Savior and our Redeemer. We love thee, Father, and we know thou loves us. And we offer prayer in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
All rise. Please repeat the pledge after me.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, thank you. We have guests with us today. I show that Ron Crump has an item that he'd like to present at our open meeting forum, and so we'd invite you to come up to the front.
Microphone, thank you.
Board.
Yeah, just in your look up there, this microphone will catch you.
It'll catch you. Okay. Well, thank you for letting me take just a few minutes. I've been with the city for 42 years, and I'm going to be retiring. And so this may be my last opportunity to come to this board meeting, depending on how my replacement happens. But just wanted to find myself at a lot of opportunity to serve and to work with the people here at Payson and the surrounding communities. And just wanted to thank you as a board for the good times. And I really appreciate that and that we get along so well. Just two comments I'd like to make. One, back when SCSB was going through some struggles and desired to become a service district so you could preserve your CRSP allocation all those years ago, you know, the cities were in full support. And then when SCSB went in for title transfer, the cities were in full support allowing you to do that. And so I just hope that as things continue to go through that we can, the good will prevail. And anyway, just wanted to say those couple of things and just again appreciate your individual friendship. Thank you.
Thank you. Jay working with you, Ron.
Yeah, thank you.
Ron, thank you.
Right. Started working when he was 15. He's been 40 years.
I wish.
a face of power or a face of city for a long time. And I've appreciated everything that Ron has done for the city. I've developed a friendship with Ron, not only through SCSB and Peyton City, but with UAMS and our association there and our wives. So there have been many good associations with Ron. I wish you good luck in your retirement. And lots of, I'd say happy cruises, but right now cruises.
Pay for 1 week, get four free.
That's right.
That's true, when I retire.
Without toilet paper.
When you tell them.
So we wish you the best, Ron.
Thank you.
I'll wait just a minute. Our next item on the agenda is a review of our open meeting laws. And Jens Nielsen is going to take a few minutes and review what those laws are that each of us should understand.
So this is a kind of a short review, really. Some of you might be familiar with the state auditor's page. If you kind of click through the right spots, you get to a document. It's a checklist for holding a public meeting. And this is all stuff that I think everyone in this room's probably heard multiple times. What's on this list? Talks about regular meetings, closed meetings. And talks about public hearings. And then meetings that are just attended electronically, so not in person. Emergency meetings, so on and so forth. I think in our last meeting, we had some questions about making available, minutes and so forth, and so it was a good chance or a good time to take a look at this, make a review. When you publish pending minutes, they should have an indication, of course, that they're not yet approved by the board. Pending minutes should be made available to the public within 30 days after the public meeting. It says here that local and special service districts should make pending minutes available to the public within a reasonable time. So that, the 30 days may be a guideline, not a hard deadline for a service district, but a reasonable time is really pertains to your abilities. So one thing I think these rules do is they take into account the type of entity that we're talking about. And so here I think the district has quite a lot of resources, the process you use is you've been doing it for a long time, and so getting minutes out within 30 days or even quicker is not going to be a problem for you. Let's see here. Within 3 days after holding an open meeting, the audio recording of the meeting should be made available. And it says down here in the footnotes, local and special service districts should make an audio recording of the open meeting available to the public unless the district's annual budgeted, within the 3 days, unless the district's annual budgeted expenditures, so talking about the size of the district, is $50,000 or less. So you probably don't fall in that one. one thing that comes up quite regularly, I think, for all public entities is, what do you make public? In other words, just, turn over to the public, whether it's on your website or handouts, and what do you make public through grandma requests, and what do you make public, or what do you just don't make public? There's kind of some grades there. Service districts are not required to make public information that's, you know, at the meeting itself. It doesn't mean you don't make it public at a later time or through a grammar request, but if you have, you know, charts and things that you're looking at, I mean, a lot of it's like, well, there's nothing to hide, so you just give everybody that wants a copy a copy. Other things, you may say, well, we're not ready to turn this over to everybody, the public yet, so what you have in the meeting, you gather it up, or you don't make it necessarily public, and then it may be public through a grammar request, or you may post it, or whatever you do later. Does that make sense? Any questions about that? You all with the cities, I don't know if you have, I was trying to think of city council meetings before, and it seems like we oftentimes had, you know, handouts that not everybody had there in the audience, but I don't really remember having anything that wasn't made available if someone asked. And I think that's because there was probably some filtering before, you know, if it was something that really shouldn't go out to the public yet, it was probably filtered before the meeting. But anyway, that's you have to look at this as, you know, it's not like a tool to hide things. It's just more like maybe it's not in final form. Maybe it's going to be changed, you know, before you make it public. I don't know. Any questions about that part of it? Okay. What about the minutes? Mark, can you just remind us, I think you talked about this last time, but what's the process with the minutes for the district?
Good, well, that's a good question, Jen. So, you know, we had some conversation with Ray's how to make this, as efficient as possible. So we agreed that as a staff, we're going to have the pending minutes available to the board about 2 weeks after this board meeting. So we'll send it out to the board members. They will have a chance to review it, let us know any corrections that need to be made. And then our goal is moving forward is that Friday, before the board meeting, we upload the pending minutes as well as the agenda on the public notice website for the public to see. So that's what we're shooting for. That's our goal. And we're trying to coordinate with, so we're hoping that with any comments the board needs to make with those pending minutes, we can get those in place before that Friday before. And then, so that's our goal moving forward. And then after the board meeting, we have the minutes and recording that we are uploading. We now have the website working properly, so that way we are now uploading the minutes, the minutes, and the recording. So January is uploaded already. Within 3 days of this meeting, we'll have the recording of this meeting as well up on our website. So we had issues getting all the past minutes and recordings uploaded, but at least from January moving forward, recording the minutes will be in our website.
So I've never listened to the recording. Is it just a word for word? It yep. includes everything, right?
We have a button here that we push, and word for word, everything that's happened, that's said today is on that recording. So that being said, as a board, we always want to be careful of what we do say, because it is going to be out there in the public to hear.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, I guess if you follow that, you've always got it out there before the 30 days, then, don't you? And, okay. Do you feel we need to go over anything related to difference between a public meeting and a closed meeting or any of those? We've kind of talked about those, I think, multiple times. Do you want some additional research done on real specifics about the grammar? You know, what should be subject to grammar requests?
I do know that this year they're passing some bills that will affect grammar.
Okay.
So we'll probably need to wait until after the session is done to see if those bills were passed.
Good idea.
And then 63G in the code has the grammar language.
So who when there is a grammar request, what's the process here? Does it go to you, Mark?
And
you?
Me first. And then, depending on what the nature of the request is, oftentimes I'll consult with legal counsel, either you or Liz Brereton, before I process it. Then based on the counsel that's given to me, I'll give that information to the requesting entity. Or if I've been counseled to not give that information, then what we should be doing is then we give an explanation why the request was denied, and then what their, then what they can do at that point. Now, after the, if I do deny the request and the requester feels like my denial is wrong, then there's a process they go through. They go to the next couple of weeks, generally the board chairman.
Yeah.
They can request, basically appeal to the board chairman. He can review it. He can either, he can go against the denial and give it to them, or he can deny it as well. But if the board chairman or that executive director denies it, then they can go up at that point to the state grandma office.
So do we have any requests that are unfulfilled right now?
Currently, it's been probably 3-4 months since we last had a grandma request, and those requests were meeting with our election.
Okay.
So we haven't been in more since.
Great. So Mark has a pretty good grasp, I think, of that process. And great. I think that's really about, that's just a little short discussion. Of course, if you have any questions or requests for some follow-up or any additional research you want, be glad to.
We ought to follow up. I know the state legislature right now is kind of in crisis mode when it comes to electronic meetings and trying to come up with a way to facilitate that because of the coronavirus. Whatever they come up with, we just need to make sure that our policies allow for us to implement whatever they bring forward. So we need to change or tweak our
bylaws
to comply with that. I think we should, because I don't want to get caught unawares if we can be.
So as I was thinking about this, because for the on the city level too, I'm wrestling with this, and I don't have any heartburn at all with having one person at the anchor location and everybody else calling in, except so if, as our governing unit. But then how do you make sure the public is still involved?
Yeah.
And so that's what I think we're stepping up our efforts to make sure that we can actually broadcast all our meetings so that the public's not excluded, because we as a council, as a city council, we can still meet with everybody calling in but one person, and that will keep us all safe, but we don't want the public to be excluded from these discussions. So anyway, that's, I think, as far as the spirit of things, that's our bigger concern, is to make sure we can meet, but that we are not excluding anybody else from.
How does Spanish Fork make the public involved, Kelly?
Channel 17.
Yeah, I was going to say, they broadcast really well.
Yeah, which is broadcast live. Ours is rebroadcast on YouTube a day later.
I was going to say, doesn't Payson have a live YouTube feed?
Yeah.
So
Spanish does YouTube ads there.
Yeah.
So anyway, there's...
But I mean, I think that's what, as we're considering this, we ought to be considering the same thing. I mean, we may not be able to stream live,
sure,
but we ought to make sure that what we do is totally open and available to the public. Because I think we can handle us pretty well. But we need to make sure that that the bigger thing doesn't get lost.
Well, you can tell that this, so the electronic meeting section of this document here, you can tell that it doesn't really account for,
mm-mm,
you know, a coronavirus situation or a pandemic or another reason where people can't, because it really only anticipates that those of you would be available by electronic. Not, it doesn't really address the public's
being able
needs
to be
there
invited.
Much. It just says that at the anchor location there should be a place for the public to watch or to see. So, you know, that kind of defeats the purpose of keeping people indoors to prevent.
Mark, I'm going to throw out a suggestion here that through our affiliation with the Utah Association of Special Districts, that perhaps you could contact the grand bidders, and at the upcoming annual meeting that they have in November,
yes,
that perhaps that could be emphasized, how to deal with electronic meetings.
And when we get through this legislative session, because I know he's really busy with that I'll put the word out to him, and so he can actually start working on it now. So when we do come to November, hopefully we'll have some good things in place, resources for us.
The very first bullet here is that governing body members are provided with annual training on open and public meeting act requirements. That is a requirement that every board member has to either attend in person the annual training, or if they can't attend that training, there is through the state auditor's office a training, an online training that's available. And so we're all obligated to complete some annual training on open and public meeting laws. But if we could have UASB perhaps talk about what Wendy and Nelson were just referring to, it might be helpful. Thanks, Jen. Any other discussion on the topic of public meetings? Thank you. Next item on the agenda then is are the minutes of February 11th.
I move that we approve them.
Motion by Wendy.
I second it.
And second by Joel. Any discussion? If not, need a motion to approve. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Not a motion. A motion was made to approve. A motion was voted on. Any opposed? Okay, that motion carries. Next item for discussion is the Finance Committee. I'll turn the time over to Brent to discuss items.
Okay, we met yesterday afternoon, Finance Committee, and went through the disbursements and expenses. And if we had any questions, we brought them up, talked about them, and we're comfortable with everything. Is there anything that anyone else has seen that would like anything further on?
I did ask Brooke about the forklift. We did receive the forklift. We got it out in the almost in the warehouse or outside.
Yeah, just right outside.
But if anybody has an interest in seeing that afterwards, you can walk out in the yard and take a look at it, I guess.
Okay, if there's no other questions or comments, I'll make a motion to approve the February 2020 disbursements and expenses.
I'll second that.
Okay, we've got a motion by Brent, second by Kenny. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, motion carries.
Okay, next one is the financial reports. Everybody's been provided with those, and we've looked over those and seen where we are. What is year to date and in comparison, and we are comfortable with what's going on and what we're doing at the time. And are there any other questions on that financial report? If not, I'll make a motion to approve the February 2020 financial report.
I second.
Got a motion, we got a second by Joel.
Yeah.
All in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? Okay, very good. The that motion is approved. The next
one is the UFS rate study proposal. I think we talked about this in all of the committees. Something that is requested, that is done every like 5 years, and something that we're I feel we're ready to do and would benefit us, CSD, as we get that done, and it'll be a something that help us back up what we need to do for the future. So, are there any questions on that?
Just a comment. Mark was saying earlier that our bonding council highly recommended that this rate study be completed. that it would be an asset to our future bonding.
Good comment. Yeah, I think there's a lot of good reasons to do this. The only reason, not that it costs us money, but we have to pay for everything we do. And so I think it's worth what we need to put into it to have this study done. Other questions or comments?
Does this include system connect fees?
Yes.
Okay.
I'll make a motion to approve the UFS rate study proposal.
Okay, we've got a motion by Grant.
I'll second that.
Second by Nelson. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, that motion is approved. All right, the next item on the agenda is a report by the Resource Committee.
Yeah, we met last Wednesday as a Resource Committee and went over our agenda and kind of went over the kitchen remodel, went over that, and how far along that was going, and also went over this Virginia Transformer purchase for future substation. That money is provided. Mark, would you explain exactly the money that's set apart for that?
Yes. So we've been collecting the impact fees for this transformer for a while. We've always known that we need to build a new substation, get a new transformer for that substation for a while now. So we've been collecting impact fees for it. So we have impact fees set aside for this transformer purchase.
And there's a long lead time.
Yeah, right? Like 9 months.
Nine months.
That's why we want to kind of get it started now, so that way we can get it ordered, and especially with this coronavirus thing that's going around, we don't know yet how that's going to, that might even cause additional delays to it as well. So we thought it would be wise to maybe get that in now and, you know, get ourselves in a better position for that. If it does come in, we'll be ready for it, and we can move forward from there.
Yeah, I agree, so.
Yeah, the other thing that we talked about in the committee was how this helps us meet our N-1
yes.
requirements, so we've got additional redundancy. So if we have something that goes down in another part of the system, we can reroute and run it through this other and make our system more reliable.
Is this an existing sub or a new?
It would be a new sub that we're looking at putting in.
Any other questions on that motion?
Okay, I've got a motion by Joel.
Location? Yes, so right now we have two possible locations for the substation. We have one out in West Mountain, we have some property out there. And there's also there's another property out here in Salem that we recently acquired. So right now we're leaning towards our West Mountain location for the substation.
Okay, we've got a motion by Joel to purchase the transformer.
A second.
Second by Wendy. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, that motion carries. All right, under the executive, well, Joel, was there anything else in the resources?
No, that's what I think we covered, I think.
All right, thanks.
We covered everything else there.
Under the executive committee, last month, Brooke went with me to the UNAPS meetings. Well, let's see. Yeah, better do A before B. So a motion to approve CRETA alternate. We already have a CRETA alternate.
If I remember right, it used to be you and Blair who were our CRETA reps. So you know, Blair's off the board now. We had to find someone too. You, now you're the CRETA rep.
I thought that when we talked about this last fall, that I became the CRETA rep and Dan was the alternate.
Yes. And we had put this on the agenda in case you wanted to replace Dan as the alternate. So it was up to you if you wanted to replace him or not, but we thought we put on the agenda just in case.
So what does the board want to do?
Do you have an alternate to the alternate?
Well,
yeah.
How much do you anticipate we're going to need an alternate?
You were the alternate before. How often did you go?
So, I mean, I think at this point, we could just leave Dan there, and then if we feel like we need to change him, we could do it any month.
Yeah.
Wendy, that's what I was thinking too. Because of the cost of travel, I just don't think it's necessarily wise that two people from SESD go to those CREDA meetings every month, or not every month, every other month when they
Right.
And if I can't attend, and Dan can't attend, I think anyone can still step up and go to the CREDA meeting.
I went once, but it was all Greek.
It's a tough meeting to sit and enjoy.
Yeah.
Well, and I think as much as we can keep Dan involved where we can, we ought to do it too. Just, I mean, this isn't going to hurt us. And
yeah.
And again, this is just a placeholder, just yep. in case. So.
But if we need to, any month, we can just do it.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Okay, so then the recommendation would be to leave the CREDA member and alternate the way it is for the present time.
Sounds good.
But then, I don't think we need a motion on that because the motion was made last
You can just fall, table right? it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, getting back then to the UAMPS meeting last month, I took Brooke with me and we discussed Brooke as being an alternate in the executive committee meeting, and I think that came at the recommendation of either the finance committee or the resource committee or both. And so,
I thought we talked about it in this meeting last month.
So we did. We talked about
okay.
it last month, but because it was not the agenda, we couldn't
take action.
So I need a motion to approve a UAMPS alternate.
So moved.
So moved.
And let's approve. Yes, let's do Burke.
Okay. We have a motion by Wendy to approve Brooke Christensen as our UAMPS alternate.
I'll second that.
And second by Nelson.
I can't see you, Nelson. That shirt is great.
It's not. I can't
You got a shine on the side of your head, right?
Yeah, I know.
I should see my
So, we'll call for a motion then, or call for a vote on the motion. Is everyone in favor of that?
Aye.
Aye.
Yeah.
Any opposed? Okay, that motion is approved. The UAMPS meeting is next week, and it's going to annually. UAMPS has a meeting in St. George, and so the meeting next week will be in St. George, and I believe Brooke is planning to attend that. Next item are bylaws. Mark, you want to discuss those bylaws?
Yes. So this is just simply a one-word change. In paragraph 5 of our bylaws, on the second page, it talks about creating a tenant review committee. And this was under the recommendation of Liz Brecht and our attorney. So basically, as we move forward, as we discussed, you know, large purchases or getting acquiring the resource, like, for example, the CFPP that's coming up, you know, to keep ourselves safe, the idea is to we have a process. So that way, whatever major decision you make as a board is thoroughly vetted out. And part of that process is you have a tenant review committee made up of people with the expertise in that field who can gather the knowledge and then present that knowledge to the board. It can be employees, it can be board members, or whatever people the board feels like would have that expertise to gather that information. And in our bylaws, it says may create that tenant review committee, but Liz recommended it should say shall. Again, it just adds greater protection to the board. So that's the change we're making, is changing that may to shall.
Is there any discussion on that?
We discussed it in our committees.
And it's talking about what decisions?
It's called, so these are the major major purchases or major decisions, like, for example, it's a really big purchase, or if it's like giving you resource, like a power resource, so basically any really major decision.
Like this transformer?
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. So basically, you would have a review committee first that would gather information, they'd review it, then must they make, then they would come to the board and say, hey, we've reviewed this, this is what we found out, this is their recommendation. The board can go through, they can ask questions, they can do, they can work with that committee to make sure they fully understand it, and then they can pass the motion, they can approve it, deny it, but whatever decision they make, they know there's been a process that, where it's been thoroughly vetted out. So if there's any questions later on, let's say you're talking with some constituent, they say, well, why did you do that? You can tell them, yes, this is the reason why we follow this process, and it protects everyone moving forward.
So is that process, is it not to have a finance committee, a resource committee, an executive committee, or are we needing additional committees?
This, basically how that tenant review committee would work, it would be created
ad hoc.
As needed,
kind of.
As needed.
And anybody could serve on it.
Yes.
When Ron retired, we could put him on that committee.
Yeah. So that tenant review committee is created as needed, and you as a board decide who will comprise that committee.
Okay. All right, any other questions on that one board change in the bylaws?
Well, I'm just, do we want to require it? Because that's what this does. It changes it from another tool in our toolbox to a requirement.
Yes. And again, this is the recommendation
of the
council, just because, you know, again, it lays out the process. She felt like it provide good protection for us moving forward. So we're
but if it's an option and you don't do it, then you're not responsible. But if it says you should, then you are if you don't.
Right. And what I'm trying to determine is where's the line that we have to.
At what point in time do we say, okay, this has got to go before the TRC?
Right, that's a little vague.
Before we move something forward. You know, maybe it's a small improvement in a substation or versus a complete build-out of a new substation and everything that that entails. I mean, I can see larger projects having a need for that, but where do you draw the line? I mean, at the end of the day, as trustees, we effectively approve the budget and do what we can to provide the tools necessary for the employees to do their job. And this just feels to me more like the board getting involved in the day-to-day operations of the board, of the company.
What do you think legally?
Well, from a legal viewpoint, if you put it in the bylaws, then it's really a protection to all of you because it forces you to, like you say, once it's in there, you're required. So it would be fine if you put it in the bylaws and then you have a purchase or some kind of a system change you want to make. If you looked at it and you said, this isn't quite what the technical review committee was intended to do, it's not that big, we're not going to go through that process this time, that'd be fine. But then when you do decide to use it, go through the process, the fact that it's in your bylaws and that you follow that procedure, then later if there's something that comes up, you can say, look, I mean, we did our best. This isn't the best analysis, the comparison, but companies have within their HR certain procedures and requirements when it comes to employees, things like harassment and stuff like that. The fact that it is a requirement in their company handbook is a legal protection to them, just the fact that it's in there. Now, it's a separate question whether they follow it, you know, and do what they're supposed
right,
to, but
right. Okay.
Having it in there does act as a, you know, a protection in and of itself. I agree that if you didn't have it in there and you know, you're taking the approach a little more like what you're saying, you know, would we want to tie our hands or create another obligation? It's not like you couldn't say, well, there's nothing in our bylaws that requires this, but we went through this process when we made this purchase or when we made this decision about the system overall or how, whatever. You would still have some protections from having gone through that. I just think that what Liz is trying to do is create a path that the board really, you know, kind of will follow and kind of has to follow. And by forcing that, it's designed to keep you safe. It's like ropes on the side of the...
That makes sense.
Coming out of your comments there, Dan. So Another reason why she recommended is, as we know, and, you know, these bylaws would help guide the board, you know, kind of wherever for the future. As you know, there's turnover on the board over time.
Right.
And so part of what she was thinking is, you know, having this committee established can help prevent emotional decisions, you know.
Right.
In the future, you might get board members, they might hear something, oh, that sounds like a really cool idea. We should do it. And sometimes with emotions, sometimes you neglect to kind of do your homework on the back end.
Right.
You go to your staff, getting some expertise and things from them. So her idea was, you know, this is something that you put in place to help the board moving forward. The current board might be really good, and that may not be a problem.
Right.
But maybe in the future, you might have people who might be more prone to emotional decisions.
Right. I agree. I think it sounds like a great idea. And I think it's really clear, like, if we're going to do a whole new substation.
Mm-hmm.
It's really clear we don't need a technical advisory committee if we're buying a new coffee maker.
Right.
It's the middle ground that I was like, at what point are we now constrained to do it? And, you know, and how do we know where that line is? But it sounds to me like that is that we can decide as we're
sure.
doing it. This
sure.
is big enough to require. So I'm comfortable with this.
So whatever our procurement policy is, that probably ought to be the line. If this got to come before the board for us to approve it, purchase or acquisition, maybe that's where we draw the line.
But we can, but that is where we still have some latitude to decide. So I'm, yeah. So sorry, that was my question wasn't whether we should have technical advice. We clearly need it in big decisions. I just didn't know what triggered the big decision.
Okay, my thing is, I think it depends on how you read that.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think we've had a technical committee, unofficial, because everything we come up, we study it and we work it out. But now it says the board shall appoint a technical committee. We don't just appoint one by the manager or somebody else or just self-appointed. We'll study this out. I think if the board feels like that, then the board.
And again, it's kind of, I guess we say memorializing something kind of we've been doing already. It just
mm-hmm.
kind of puts a compliant print down.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm pretty comfortable with it after listening to the discussion. And so, is someone prepared to make a motion?
I'll make a motion that we approve the change in the bylaws to say shall, let's just say will instead of shall.
To change from may to
make
shall.
I second. Thanks.
Okay, motion by Grant, second by Joel. Any other discussion, Kenny?
So, if I'm to understand this, is this technical review committee going to make the decision?
No.
They're just going to bring that answer back to the board. The board's still going to
bring a recommendation.
It just, this review committee would do the homework for the board. You know, we would gather the information, kind of process it, and give it to you. And
provide a recommendation.
Yeah, and then you could ask us the questions, and so it just helps you get to that point where you feel comfortable making the decision.
Yeah, and you know, it may take several meetings. There may be several meetings to decide whether a purchase is necessary or not, or whether to purchase at all. It may be something entirely unrelated to it. Procurement.
Okay.
Okay, so we've got a motion by Grant, a second by Joel. Any other questions? All in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? Okay, that motion passes. The last item on the agenda is a closed session. If anyone feels like we need to have an update. Hearing none, we'll call for someone to make a motion to adjourn the meeting.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, you're
the I move. I move we adjourn.
Motion by Wendy to adjourn and second by Nelson. All in favor say aye.
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 Okay, we may be a little early.
Tell Paul we almost didn't get out of the meeting without him.
Paul's actually on a cruise. He may be off the